Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 4? Today's an exciting day because we're going to be finishing up a chapter today. 1 John chapter 4. Last week we spoke about love, the importance of love, why it is important that we understand the love that God has for us and the love that we have for ourselves, and how God has mastered both, the agape and the agapo we talked about last week. We're going to continue on with this conversation, because we have to understand that God is love. And it's not so much about us saying that this is a liberty for us to allow sin and unorganization to take place, but we have to understand that the love that God gives to us is something that we can never match, but at the same time, we must love one another. Because it's an attribute of God, it's a part of the fruits of the Spirit. We've been given the Spirit, which is love. The Holy Spirit allows us to continue to love. You have the ability to love because of Him, not because of yourself, you see. You do not have the ability to love on your own. What you say is, well, that's not true, Luan, because I love people all the time and long before I became a Christian. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love that God designed. I'm talking about the love that we can, the maximum love that we can give. It's all from God. You understand that right now, even right now, we are sitting in a place in our lives right now where we are under the mercy and under the love of God. God showed His love by giving us His Son. He could have did the reset button. Well, Luan, He did do that with the flood. No. He could have wiped everything out and started fresh. How many people survived the flood? How many? What else survived the flood? Sorry? What else survived the flood? People are talking, I'm not hearing you. What? Animals, earth, okay, fine. What else survived the flood? Huh? Sin survived the flood. So He could have did a restart, but He didn't. Sin got off the boat too. Love. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this as we finish the chapter today in 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be beginning in verse 14. I know we did 14 last week, but we're going to continue on 14. And we'll read. This is the Word of God. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in Him, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. John is preaching a sermon in this book. Upon reading this book, and again, this is one of those things that I mentioned before, and I know that some of you have done it, where you read this book from start to finish every day for however long you want to. I did it for a month. Bless you. There's nothing like, you're always learning in God's Word. And even as you read it every single day, let's say you read it every single day for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, a year, there's always something there that you can take and you can feed off of and you can say, yes. What I've learned is that John is preaching here. He is preaching a sermon. Repetition. We always talk about repetition. When you say things over and over again, say things over and over again. Proverbs, it says it over and over again. And then you think you got it, it continues saying it over and over again. How do you become the best hitter in the baseball league is by taking swings. How do you become the best shooter in basketball is by how many shots you continue to take. How do you perfect something? You perfect something by repetition. If I were to tell you that I'm going to give you an exam tomorrow on this book, 1 John, you're going to say, oh boy, let me go to YouTube and listen about it or read about it, but I'm not going to be necessarily ready than if I told you you have an exam a year from now. Repetition. We don't like repetition. We don't like to be preached to too much. We don't like to be talked to about the same thing too much. Let me stop there. I was about to say something, and Jamie's going to smile at me like she's doing right now, and then she's going to checkmate me, and I don't want to be checkmate today. But I think about the Christians that are in China who I met years and years ago in China that were underground Christians that had a page of scripture that would study that page front and back, study it until they ran into another group of Christians and they would pass the pages. Pass that page because they studied it. They mastered that one page and they'd get a new page. And they would study. They were more biblically sound than any of us in this room. Why? Because they studied, they prayed, they studied. One page. You got a whole Bible, and you don't have time to read it. Some of us only open up our Bibles on Sunday, and that's maybe. The rest of the time we use our apps. Do we spend time in God's Word? What was the message in Hosea today? My people fall for the lack of... Okay, so what is knowledge? Oh, that's a great question. Proverbs. Ultimately leading back to Christ. Your knowledge is the law of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, which brings us back to Christ. How do we learn about Christ? At this point, family, we're without excuse, man. We are without excuse. Verse 14, we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. We have seen, John has seen, he has beheld it, he has looked at it, he has seen, and he's testifying, meaning that he is bear witness, meaning that he is offering a first-hand account of what he saw, and he is giving evidence that the Father has given us the Son to be the Savior of the world. You cannot get past Jesus and expect to have a relationship with Yahweh. You cannot. It's not possible. God's love is so great, so powerful for the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, his only one and only son, depending on your translation. He has given the son. Why? So the son can accomplish the law. So the son can be the sacrificial lamb for your sin because none of you could have done it on your own. This is the love that God has had for us, for his son to come and be the savior of the world. You understand that if there was other ways to be saved, this text wouldn't be here. There's only one way to salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. There's not multiple ways to God. There's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. I don't care what other people say. Well, there's multiple things to God. I mean, you can be a good person. You can have oneness with the universe, and you know, you can tie your shoes. Stop. There's one way, and it's only through Jesus Christ. And John is saying here that he had bear witness, and he is testifying firsthand that God has sent Jesus into the world so that Jesus may be the Savior and will be the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses, whoever acknowledges the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, the sacrificial lamb, the Messiah, the Savior, guess what? The Son, Jesus, abides. He stays with that person, and that person stays with him. There's no way in the world that you could be separated. Has there anybody ever been here? Just show of hands. Anyone's ever been a part of a choir here? Okay, we got a couple people. Now, I was a part of a choir once. I was. I had my suit on. It was all tight. Couldn't breathe. And I was in a choir of about 60 other guys. This is going to be a bad analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. Imagine 60 men on this platform here, all in suits, singing. On the outside, you sitting there, you say, man, those guys sound beautiful. It's just something nice about these men singing in unison together. They sound nice. Can y'all see the picture? A choir sounding really nice? Especially a big one? I can't sing. I can't sing at all. I mean, I joke around. I'm an amazing singer in the shower. I mean, I'm talking like, I'll be doing that stuff with the finger and everything. Can't sing. I don't have no tune. I can't sing all these different things. But what's funny is that what they said was that if you can't sing, don't worry about it. Just mouth the words. So here I am with my hymn, and I'm selling that bad boy. In fact, if you guys ever go on YouTube, you can actually see the choir that I'm with. I'm not gonna tell you what, but you can see the choir I'm with, and you see me a couple times, and I'm. The point that I'm making is that the people that can sing carry the ones that can't. You think that everybody in a choir, no matter how great it is, everybody's got great vocals? Probably not. Someone may be hoarse that day. They're being carried. They're being carried so that the choir sounds beautiful. But don't ask that individual to sing the song. They probably be like, well, I'm not really, you know, they're making excuses because they can't sing. What does this have to do with this here? You, when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, you are part of Him. You are His. And you stay in Him and He stays with you. And you're going to come up short, but God never will. That choir will continue to sing beautifully and you will be carried on with Him because you abide in Him. You stay in Him. If you go off by yourself, you're going to hear the vocals and they're not going to sound too good. Some of us try to sing with the radio up loud and the music drowns out our voice. But if you turn the music down, you notice how people sing and change? They try to stop because they don't want to be heard. The point that I'm making is that when you accept Christ as Savior and Lord, you become a part of Him. You are a part of His branches now because He is the main vine. And guess what? As you stay in Him and you just remain, you're not a good singer. You're not going to stand. You can't do it on your own because you cannot. It's impossible. God is with you. And because God is with you, the story is going to continue on. The mission is going to continue on. God is going to continue to receive His glory. And you're there. Does that make sense? Was that a bad analogy? Okay, that kind of... If someone who said, yeah, I'm sorry, write your congressman. But that's the point that I'm making, is that you're being carried on because God is staying with you. You're going to fall short. You're going to sin. But God is going to carry you. He is going to keep you going on because you stay in Him and He stays in you. You know, God is not obligated to keep you. He does it because of what? His love. We all would have given up on that person a long time ago. You get angry with somebody, you're done with them, I don't want to talk to you, you've hurt me 3 times today already, you've hurt me 15 more times before that, and you're going to hurt me tomorrow. I'm done with you. God has every right to say that to every single one of us. Do you understand that? Sometimes we have to challenge ourselves with these things. God says, you represent me. You are mine. And you're off doing this. You're off cursing people with that. You're off going off and doing this. Is God upset? Yeah, He gets frustrated. I'm sure He does. What are you doing? But come on. God, I'm so sorry. Come on. When Layla messes up, she's easy. It doesn't take much to get Layla. She can see the disappointment in my face and it breaks her heart. She gets emotional. At the beginning, stop the crying. Stop. Why are you crying? Again? Stop. I had to change. Okay. So as a result of that, and I'm giving you this more of a personal thing, as a result of that, she didn't want to come to me that much. She would get emotional. I could see it. Remember, I was there first. Jamie wasn't there. I was there her first parts of her life. Jamie wasn't around. She didn't even give birth to her. She had a cesarean. So she wasn't even there. You weren't even there. I was there from the very beginning. I know when Layla's, when her face changes, I can tell that she's emotional. Layla, what's the matter with you? Nothing. You're lying to me. Yeah, I knew. See, I know. Okay? So what am I saying this for? I'm saying this because, you know, At first, I did not receive that very well because I don't receive those things very well. And she stopped wanting to come to me about things that concerned her. Until I said, Layla, what's the matter? She tell me, and I give her a hug. You messed up, but let's do this. And now it's okay. God is doing the exact same thing with us, but even better. We sin against Him. He is saying, come. Come on. I may have to break your leg so you don't run from me again, but I'm with you. I love you. and my love is going to last throughout all eternity. Do you understand? John is sharing here in verses 14 and 15 that Jesus is not just a great teacher. He is not just a nice guy. He is not just a person that did miracles, and he wasn't just a person that spoke good speeches, but he is the promised Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. God sent him, and this was the promise that God made from the very beginning back in Genesis. Jesus is a great teacher. He did speak amazing sermons. He did perform miracles. But when other religions say Jesus was just a great teacher, wrong. He is the Messiah and the Savior of all the world. If you choose to receive him as your Savior. Verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in him, in God. And God abides in him. We talked about that. We got to understand the mindset. We are all under the same mindset. We've come to know the great love of God. And that great love of God, we've come to know it. And the Bible says that God is love. He is this great love, which is Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus Christ is love. He is God, so he is love. We've come to know these things. Don't you understand that all the texts, whether we're talking about Hosea, Proverbs, we're talking about John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, you understand that all of this is leading back to Christ? It's not leading back to your biblical knowledge. It's not leading back to your ability to feel good about what the pastor is saying. It's leading you back to Christ. It is saying here that we know that this great love that God has, the great love that God has for the world, which is Jesus Christ is God, which means he is love, and this is the love that we want to have for one another. It's all pointing back to Christ. We have come to know and believe. We become dependent upon the great love of God, which is Christ. So we become dependent upon Christ. God is love because Jesus is love. Jesus is love because God is love. And if we abide, if we stay in the love, which is Christ, then God, who is Jesus, stays with us. Does that make sense? I'm kind of going off book a little bit because it's just, but I just want to make sure that makes sense. I'm talking to y'all like I'm going to be talking to y'all in the living room. It's very simple. God is love. Jesus is God. Jesus is love. But there's a standard that needs to be made. Verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. Okay. We must have this love be perfected in us. The attributes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be constantly growing inside of us. To be perfected. Why? So that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Why? Because the day of judgment is coming. It may seem like it's millennial away, but it's not. Some of you are sitting there right now wondering, man, it's a long time ago. Let me think back when I was 20. Let me think back when I was a teenager. Let me think back when I was in high school. And you think, man, look how fast the time went. Yeah, time went by really fast for your vapor that you call life. Judgment is coming. And it's saying here that we have confidence in the day of judgment because just as he is, so also are we in the world. In other words, just as he is, just as God is, just as judgment is coming, we are going to face judgment. We, just as much as God is, so are we. We're not a mythological figure and neither is God. What does it say in Psalm 1, my favorite psalm, Psalm 1, verse 5 and 6? It says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Remember, we talked about this before. Those that are in Christ will stand in judgment. Those that are not will not. They can't. Use another analogy. We are the pieces of metal in a bucket with 100, we're the 100 pieces of metal in a bucket of 1,000 snails, and the salt is poured in. The salt will devour the snails. God's glory, his judgment will devour the wicked. And who are the wicked? Not just the evil people that you identify as evil. The wicked people are all those who are not in Christ. I heard somebody tell a story this week about Mother Teresa. Y'all know who she is? Oh, all y'all do, huh? Y'all don't know a movie, but y'all know Mother Teresa. Here's the thing I'm going to say about Mother Teresa. If it's offensive, come and talk to me about it, and we can write the congressman together. Mother Teresa, according to history, has done a lot of great things. Would you agree? A lot of great things. Let me share something with you about Mother Teresa. If she didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean anything at all. All the good stuff she did, it didn't earn her salvation, because salvation is a gift from God, not from works, so that no man may boast. If Mother Teresa did not have a relationship, now I'm not saying that she did or she didn't, because I don't know. I would like to think in my mind for peace that she 100% did. And I'm going to take that to my grave. I believe that she did. But I don't know for certain. None of us do. What I'm saying is that all the good stuff she did mean absolutely nothing in her right now in eternity if she does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it goes for all of us. If she didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then she is among the wicked in the day of judgment. Haven't I prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name did many wonderful works, many wonderful works, many wonderful works? And what did Jesus say? I will say to them, I never ginoskod, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. You take a warlord in parts of South America or Africa, horrible person, massacring people. If he accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, even a second before he died, he's going to receive the mercy of God. It is not our place to decide who's evil, who's righteous. The man that was hanging on the cross next to Jesus entered into paradise. His entire life meant absolutely nothing. His entire life was full of sin. His entire life was in rebellion against God. And he did one thing on the cross. And he said, remember me.
What do you want to be reminded about?
I want to remind you all that it's very offensive to me if you keep your phones on. Okay? What a fun way to break the ice, huh? That was a good one. You can't write that one. That was a good one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm sorry. I had to turn it off. I thought she was silenced. What do you want? Did I even say Siri? Did I say anything that sounded like Siri? Okay. Okay, I was about to say, then why was she? As some evangelical, charismatic would say, that was the devil right there. No, it was my iPhone. It was Siri. Okay. Man, okay. What was the last thing I said? Huh? Works, yes. Okay. So, what do you want to be reminded about? I want to be reminded about Mother Teresa. So that's the point that we're making here, is that we have to understand that the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Those that are not in Christ will not stand in the judgment. If you are in Christ, you will stand. And so that's why we go back to the text in 17, verse 17, and we have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in the world. The day of judgment. We will be protected from the day of judgment. We will not be ashamed in the day of judgment. The book of Hosea talks about being ashamed in judgment. Y'all want to know what verse that is? Anybody? Come on 9 o'clock. I'm joking. We talked about this very thing today. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Judgment would bring fear, doesn't it? Have any of you ever taken the time to think about the judgment seat of Christ and the judgment that's going to take place in the world? It could be something that's scary to think about. What if I'm not right with you, Lord? There's fear there. But if you're in Christ, who is what? Love, you won't have fear of judgment. Because there's no fear in him, because you're not separated from him. Perfect love, as your love is being perfected, as you're being conformed to the image of Christ, it takes away all the fear so that you can have confidence, back to the previous verse, confidence in the day of judgment. Why? Because the fear is involved with punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. What that means is, that doesn't mean you don't have any hope. If you still have fear about that, okay, let's build up so you don't. Luan, I lived a horrible life, man. I lived a horrible life. I'm full of sin. You know what? So am I. I've lived a horrible life. I'm full of sin. My sin is greater. I told you all last week, or a couple weeks ago, I told you that my sin is greater than everybody in here is combined. If you want to argue with me about that, pack a lunch. Because you're not going to win that one. It's convinced in my mind, and I have the proof to show you that my sin is greater than every single person's in here. Combined. But God, he forgives, he heals, he restores. So shouldn't you want to serve him? Because he heals, because he restores, man lives his whole life as a thief, stealing from people, breaking into their homes and stealing things from people. The law forgives them, says, you know what? You're forgiven. Not only are we going to forgive you, but we're going to put you in a brand new house, and you can stay in my house. You can eat my food. You can relax. You can enjoy yourself. And that person who has been stealing, 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 deserves prison for the rest of his life, goes into this man's house, and he can eat whatever he wants. He can enjoy all the things that the house has, but he fulfills the need to steal from him too. Do y'all see the picture? I've been forgiven of everything. I'm not even going to prison. I'm not going to die in prison. I'm going to live in this rich man's house, and now I'm going to steal his china. You understand that sometimes we do that to God? God, thank you for forgiving me, but I'm going to take advantage of your grace and your mercy and your love for me by going off and being just wretched. Even then, God still forgives. For those of you that are fearful of punishment from God, we have to change our view of God. Understand that He is great and you are nothing. Understand that there's nothing that you can do on your best day to earn your salvation. The moment that you understand those things, then we can start building you up from there. I am a wretched sinner. You don't understand that when you read the Bible, there's only one man in the Bible that was without sin on the earth? You don't know who he is? Our Lord. Everybody else in the Bible from Genesis on is sinful men that wouldn't qualify, according to your standards, to preach Sunday mornings, that wouldn't qualify to talk to somebody about the Bible. Even Paul, who a lot of Christians put in a very elevated, not godly, but elevated position, said, I'm a wretched man. And we don't know all that Paul did. We know what the Bible says. You can read some historian accounts and hear what he says, but we don't know everything that he's done in his past. God writes straight with our crooked lines. And God will write straight with yours if you let him. You're forgiven. That forgiveness doesn't mean that now that the debt is paid, I can go and make some more debt. No, it means thank you. Lord, what must I do to continue on with you? Because it feels good to be free from hell. It feels good to be free from the grave. It feels good to be forgiven of my sins. What can I do now? And he is saying, I'm glad. Love your brothers and your sisters in Christ. Do what I'm telling you to do. Listen to my instruction. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Yes? Didn't Jesus say that? How could you call me Lord and not obey my commandments? Did he say that? He said that, right? Okay, so then he also said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, therefore love one another. So guess what? When you say, well, what does God mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, obey my commandments? Let's start with that one first, if you want to know. Love your brothers and your sisters in Christ. That's how the world will know. They will know because we have love for one another. In this love, there's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of punishment. And we can perfect this love. Verse 19. we love because he first loved us. As I said at the beginning, this is a love that God has for us. If we are trying to be copies of our daddy, which means Abba. Abba means daddy. It's an intimate, fatherly thing. When you say you call Abba father, you're saying daddy. If you desire to be like him, as most children, a lot of children, I won't say most, I'll say a lot of children, sometimes they love and they want to mimic their parents. I'm not going to say every case because that's not true. But you can see the imagine. You can imagine the fact that when a little boy is running around and he sees his dad, he wants to mimic his dad. When you see a little girl running around, she wants to mimic her mother. We are wanting to be mimickers, followers of Jesus Christ. So we love, why? Because he first loved us. When we were lost and had no idea what we could do, what we were going to do, he still loved us. And I don't believe on this side of heaven we will truly comprehend that love. I think we can to the best of our ability right now. But if God's love reaches all the way up to the, just hypothetical, if his love reaches all the way up to the moon and past the Milky Way galaxy, our love level is probably like right here. We don't understand it fully. God is love. He loved us. Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, has just a grotesque mindset of his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love whom he has not seen. I love God, but I can't stand Deacon so-and-so. I hate their guts. I love God, but, you know, I really don't like West. I just don't. Yeah. And I'm not the only one. Everybody can't stand West. Willie just smiles. He don't even say nothing no more. You say West, he just gives a smile. Just not even a teeth smile, just... And when I say, let me clear this up. When I say I don't like, I'm not talking about the concept of I don't like you because we disagree. I'm talking about I'm grotesque with you. You understand there's people in the church that do that. Wes, does Wes love the Lord? Yes, he does. Does he believe in the Lord? Yes, he does. Does he study God's word? Yes, he does. So what do I dislike about you? We may not vibe together personally, like, you know, to have a conversation and we have the same things in common, but we both love the Lord. That's my brother and I love him. Been hanging out with him for a while. I like him a lot. Right? If you get the chance. Some of us decide we don't like this person and we just leave it at that. I don't like him. The love of Christ. Practice the love of Christ by loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. If there's somebody that you're not a fan of, maybe I'm not a counselor here. Maybe it would be very nice to say, you know what, let me try to revisit this situation and reconcile this situation. We don't have to be best buddies. You know, we don't have to be best friends. We don't have to hang out all the time. But you know what? You're a brother in Christ and I love you. So let's figure this out. As I told you last week about the military, the connection we had was the military. The connection we had was the mission. Other than that, I don't like you. I don't want to be around you. And the truth is, I can't stand you. I'm only smiling because it's a photo op. At least that was my experience. Band of Brothers. Oh, Band of Brothers. Oh, it's such a good show. They love each other. Please, can't stand each other. It was a necessity of the circumstances. Some people, some cases, there's love. Like, I have people that I serve with that I love to death, like, forever and ever. Then there's some people I'm like, man, if I don't ever see you again, that's awesome. Great. But we had each other's backs in that time. And we will always have that. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, now you have a world. You have a world that is attacking us as believers. You have a world that is at war with us as believers. They may not be trying to martyr us in the public, in City Hall, right? They may not be trying to martyr us, but they're destroying us. Okay? They're looking for, let me find the pastor doing something he's not supposed to do. Let me find some church member doing what they're not supposed to do. And I'm going to say, see? They're requiring perfection from a Christian faith and trying to prove that it's not perfect. And nobody said anything about perfect. The only thing that's perfect is Christ. Our Savior is perfect. We're not. We sin every single day. But we're at war with one another. Don't you think we would be stronger if we actually loved one another? Look at the other religions. Particularly look at Islam. Do all of the groups of Islam agree with one another fundamentally? No. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is a union that they have with one another that we as Christians should be ashamed of. There's a union there. We need to have a union with Christians. Well, how can I tell, Luan? I don't know. You got prosperity, gospel people. You have all these different things. Okay, that's true. And it's not our job to swift it out. Our job is to love. God will deal with that. He promised the wheat and the tares are growing together. We love one another. Eventually, those who are not in Christ will fall by the wayside. So when someone says that I love God but I hate my brother, he's lying. You cannot love God and hate your brother. It is not a part of the DNA. It is not an attribute of God. And how could you sit there and see this brother every day and hate him, but you haven't seen God and you say you love him? Finally, verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Basically, summary. You love God. You love your brother also. Because as we talked about last week, that's an attribute of God. God is being shown. His love is being shown of the love that we have for one another. Did Jesus love his disciples? Did Jesus love the 12? Was Jesus afraid to offend people? Some of you are confused. Was Jesus ever afraid to offend people? Would you say that Peter loved Jesus? You would say that, right? I would say that. Do you think that Jesus loved Peter? But Jesus had no problem rebuking Peter. Get behind me, Satan, when Peter tried to get in the way of the redemption, the redemptive plan of him going to the cross. He told Peter, get behind me, Satan. So it doesn't mean that when you love somebody that you don't correct them. It doesn't mean that when you love somebody that you just lend support through your silence. We're in the last week of Pride Month. How many of us have lent support through our silence? I'm not saying anybody has. I'm just asking a question. You're supposed to be loving, Luan. You're supposed to be loving. Yes. Loving enough to rebuke what you're doing. Loving enough to correct what you're doing. Do you understand? We must love one another, but we must also be realistic with one another. I'll ask Jamie, I'll ask a friend, I'll ask Kara, how did y'all feel about me saying this or doing this? And they will, and they'll tell me their opinion. Then I say, well, y'all don't want to make me mad, so can I trust your opinion? So I ask somebody else. But the question is that they're going to tell me where I'm coming short. They're going to tell me where I was strong at. They're going to tell me these things because they love me, they're friends, and they're going to correct. That's why it's so beautiful that when you have brothers and sisters in Christ that you love and you're not necessarily bosom buddies, that you can trust them even more. You know why? Because they're not a fan of you. One of the biggest things I was told in ministry, before starting ministry, is surround yourself with people that are not a fan of you. Why? Because they're going to tell you, you know, you messed up. Jesse, I like what you said, man, but you know, I don't agree with that. Not the other way. Jesse, you know, well, I see what you're saying. Well, maybe I need to think about it differently. No, it was wrong. I had a buddy who literally told us that he was questioning because his 3-year-old daughter said, I wish Jesus was a girl. And he said, what if Jesus was a girl? I'm like, brother, have you lost your mind? A 3-year-old. What if, I want Jesus to be a girl. Well, maybe, what if she was a girl? From your 3-year-old. You need to put the cuckoo back in the clock. The point I'm making is I'm not impressed with that guy, so I could tell him, man, you're insane. How could you say that? Where does it say that in the Bible? No, it's just a thought. Not even a thought. But because we're not impressed with one another, we can correct each other on those things. Like, I'm a diehard fan of Scarlett. If Scarlett jumped up and told me that the sky was green tomorrow, I'd be like, well, man, maybe it is. Because I'm such a huge fan of Scarlett. The point I'm making is we need to love one another. We need to love one another with the glue that holds us together, which is the Holy Spirit. We have to love one another because that's what Jesus requires of us. We have to love one another because that's what the Word of God requires of us. And we use the Word of God to continue to build each other up. If you're struggling with something in your life, that's what you have brothers and sisters in Christ for. I'm not trying to give off this impression that you are perfect all the time. We must love one another. Because God is love. Jesus is God, which means Jesus is love. And the love that he has given us, which is his son, he has given himself up for us. He has given himself up for us. That's the ultimate act of love so that we may be able to have that love and give that love to other people, which is a further extension of Christ throughout the entire world. You understand that when you have the love of Jesus in you, then you could be able to show that love to the world, and Christ is still continuing to spread throughout all the world. And we need it now more than ever. We need it just as strong because right now people are receiving a Christ, but it is not Christ. And they are hiding behind an antichrist. An antichrist that they like to paint a picture of him being crucified under a rainbow. Small little thought, real quick. God put the rainbow in the sky for what? to promise that he will not destroy the world with water. Yes? God also told Noah to go multiply. Yes? Go and give life. Make life. Make life. This symbol, every time the rainbow appears, every time you see the rainbow, it's reminding of God's covenant. Not just with man, but with the world. Life. They take that symbol and they use it as their tool to promote death. If everyone was a part of this group, do you think there would be any more life? Can we multiply? No. So you literally mock God's covenant with creation to follow your own agenda. We need to pray for these brothers and sisters. We need to love these brothers and sisters, but we need to pray for them because they are wrong. It's a shame that I can't get Layla something rainbow because I'm afraid that that's going to represent something else. She sees it as God's covenant. Everyone else sees it as something else. So let's pray for our brothers and sisters with that. We need to love on them. We need to pray with them. We need to pray for them. And we need to ask that God gives them revelation. Because the symbol that they're using to represent their sinful, deathly agenda is the symbol that God used. Excuse me. It's the symbol that God used for life in his promise.